This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So jumping into the press conference that you just did downstairs, do you enjoy the press conference thing, or are you sort of like, are you a roundtable or press conference guy?
I'm a guy that wants the movie to work. So whatever it takes, whatever you got to do, I'm happy to do.
Okay.
And then the press conference is good. I have my own philosophy about press conference. I mean, I usually think when they don't like the movie, they ask about other things, you know. So, you know, what restaurants do you go to when you're in here? But they seem to like the movie. They seem to be asking a lot of questions about the movie, which made me feel good because I think that the movie's good.
I agree with you. You guys filmed this thing in Berlin.
Yep.
You have done many films in Berlin. Is it the tax advantages? Do you have some sort of relationship there? What's the secret of you always being in Berlin?
All the above. It's financially advantageous to make a picture in Berlin, in Germany. They have a very effective rebate system. There's a lot of EU things, but Berlin's very good. We have a relationship with Babelsberg. They're actually a financier, a partner in Dark Castle. So they are, you know, in our lives. And that was recent. I mean, not back to V and Speed Racer, I mean, but in the last year or so, they've been a part of Dark Castle. And I like working there. I really like working there. I really like the people. I like the process. I like the facility. I like the city. It's so hard to shoot in LA. It's impossible to shoot in LA. The costs are astronomical. You can do things in Berlin, and people are happy to see us. Happy to have us there, and it's a good place to work.
The shoot was 40 something days. Typically on this shoot, how often were you on set, and what's your typical average for being on set?
Well, I mean, it depends on where the movie is. I mean, you know, I was only there a couple times. I mean, I have. You're seeing some of my staff in the room here. Sarah was on the set every day, the whole day. Andrew was there a great deal. I was there for the starting of the movie, and I came in the middle for a couple of days. I mean, we're in touch all the time. I'm seeing dailies. I'm talking to every day what's going on there. I mean, I know what's happening on the picture. It depends where the movie's being shot. I mean, I was a few times in England on Sherlock. I mean, it's hard to go back and forth. I'm trying to run a company, and it's hard to go back and forth and be there all the time. But we do cover it. If a movie's being shot in L.A. or if somebody's being shot here, I may be a little more present because I can be there. But if it's a trip to go somewhere, I'll go for a few days at a time and see what's going on. But, you know, because of the way the internet works, because I can see scenes and I can see things and we can see, you know, previses of fight scenes, or I can see stuff that I to collaborate and know what's going on, it makes it, you know, I'm available to do all that. So it's okay. But, you know, I'm not there. I'm not taking the crew call and being that. In my past, I would do that. I'd get there in the morning at 5 in the morning and be there till wrap. But, you know, but that was that.
I'm curious about the for this process, for getting this project made versus some of your previous projects, was this a smooth sailing? And also, could you sort of talk about let's start with that.
I mean, weather was really rough. It was really cold. It was really, really cold. I mean, you think, oh, yeah, okay, you know, so what? I mean, I always say I personally prefer cold rather than hot, because you can always make yourself warmer, but when it's hot, you really can't make yourself cooler. But it's still, you know, in really cold temperatures, what it was there was really the coldest winter in 20 years. I mean, and a lot of the movie was outside. I mean, we had issues that we were going to try to make this movie in the, you know, late summer, early fall. And then Liam said, look, I have an opportunity to do this movie, the A-Team, you know, and they want me to go then. Will you wait for me? You know, and we said, okay. I mean, we talked about it. I mean, we knew it was going to be cold, but I think it works for the movie. I mean, it really gives the movie this kind of grayness, this kind of, you know, atmospheric quality that I think helps the story. But that was an issue. Being cold and being difficult was an issue. But, you know, the actors are professionals. I mean, and they're hard workers. And I mean, if they, there's a lot of times that actors can be a little precious sometimes, and then it's difficult to put them in a situation where there is true hardship, because when you're in that kind of cold, you're in true hardship. And, you know, they take your coat off and they say, okay, do it. It's still not comfortable, you know.
I'm a huge fan of Liam becoming this action star. It's really, as he mentioned downstairs, it's very funny that it's happened when he's in his late 50s. Was this a project that started really gaining steam once Liam sort of became this action star? Could you sort of talk about where he came in?
Well, he's really, I mean, that's kind of not fair, because he really, I mean, if you look at Batman Begins, I mean, he was fantastic in that movie. I mean, he was not the star of the movie, but he trains Bruce Wayne and then he fights him at the end. I mean, he had a lot of action elements. I mean, but after Taken came out and after Taken worked as well as it did, we were sitting around and we said, why not leave him in Unknown? I mean, we were looking to say how to make the picture, you know, how to go. We were planning on making the movie, but it wasn't until we hit on him that it really became clear what kind of movie we wanted to make.
I'm curious about the script on this thing. How many scripts do you typically read versus, are you still a huge script reader?
Not so much.
So how does it sort of like bubble up from?
Yeah, it comes through the system, and I like to hear the stories, what their scripts are about, and it, when they become real, I read them. When they become like, we want to make this movie, then I'll read it and I'll give my input and everything. But you know, there's a big group, it's a big operation now, so there's a lot of people that work for us and we see a lot of material. So, but you know, but this thing, Leonard is an old friend of mine, Leonard Goldberg, and he was very influential in my career when I made Predator and I made Die Hard. He was the head of the studio at that time at Fox. So I mean, he's the one that greenlit Die Hard and greenlit, you know, at that time a very controversial deal for Bruce Willis. So he's been a friend of mine for many years, and he brought us the book. And we liked the book. You know, we were when Dark Castle was just beginning, we were looking for where we were going to go, and he brought the book, and we thought this could be good. And so, you know, we developed a script with him. And then when Jama got interested, and I really love Jama, and this is our third picture with him.
Totally.
And when he said, I kind of like this, we started talking about it, and he said what he would do and how we'd make it better, and then we brought Liam in. I mean, it just kind of all evolved like that. And then, you know, we reached a point where we kept refining and refining. I mean, I look at the finished movie, and I'm really proud of it. I mean, it really is tight, I think. I mean, I think it you know, if you watch the movie, see the ending, and then go back, everything works. Everything is legit. You know, I mean, all the pieces do fit together.
I actually, without ruining anything, I really like the twist. Was that always the twist from the beginning? Or did it possibly, was there a lot of debate? Because that's obviously, the whole movie rides on that.
That was always the twist in the beginning. Yeah, I mean, that's in the book, right? Yeah, that was always the twist. That was always the plan that you're not going to, I mean, you'll pick out what you want to, I'll say things you can pull out of the interview. But I mean, you know, the idea was that, you know, this is a guy who believes his cover. And that's the concept. You know, and that was the plan, that was the idea of the whole piece.
I definitely want to ask you something about, there's been a lot of talk of DVD and Blu-ray sales not being as good as it was many years ago and how it's been changing. I'm curious, how has that affected the movies being made for you as a producer? Is the sales really as down as everyone says?
Yeah, yes. I mean, there's a lot of excuses of why it happened. A lot of people, I mean, the fact is that there was a very strong rental business in America. A very strong rental business. I mean, all those stores, Blockbuster, I mean, they were a big rental business. And the DVD kind of converted all of that rental business into a sell-through business, what they used to call sell-through, where they were purchasing,
totally,
which cost more than renting. So that, when the economic downturn occurred, that business collapsed. So you're seeing now with Netflix and all these other, you know, organizations, the rental business is kind of coming back, renting, you know, digitally or renting for a, you know, I mean, there's more rental activity, but it's not what it used to be. It's just been, it's all a declining, depressed business. But the Blu-ray had a very good year. Christmas was very good for Blu-ray. So there's hope on the Blu-ray, you know?
Well, I'm just curious.
Last question.
You're a little more. It's okay.
Okay.
I'm curious with VOD and video on demand. And do you ever think, what's your feeling on VOD? And do you ever think we're going to reach the point where studios are going to release theatrically, VOD, you know, all at the same time? Or do you think there'll always be that theatrical window, whether it be 60 days or 120 days?
Look, that is a, you know, that's a, you know, bellwether discussion. I mean, that's, people are talking about that a lot now, you know. I don't know. Look, I mean, we're not there yet. I mean, I look at when I get a statement of a movie that I have in profits, and I see the statement of where the money comes from. The money coming in from digital is this much. I mean, it's not I mean, the money coming in from theatrical is this much, and television is this much, and home video, but in digital is this much. But, you know, we have to assume that that will eventually become, you know, I guess, not the tail, but the dog. I mean, eventually, digital will be a big thing someday. Well, it's not there yet. And, you know, you have theater owners who are not going to be happy if you're going to release movies at the same time they're going to be released in the theaters. So, I mean, that's going to be an issue, too. But, you know, look, I think that it's all a time of change. We're all watching change, and we're seeing it. You know?
I have to ask, have you ever downloaded a movie through VOD or watched something on Hulu? Or are you still, I only want to see movies in theaters?
No, I have an iPad. I love my iPad. And I'll, you know, I'll see television shows that I have missed, and I'll download them up through iTunes. And I'll if there's a movie that I want to watch, an older movie that I want to watch right away, I can download that movie and watch it. You know, I mean, I watch things on Hulu. I mean, I use all that stuff. But I mean, I prefer, you know, whenever I'm trying to see a movie, you know, and I'm looking at my office to see the movie, and they'll say, "Well, we give you the DVD." I want the print. I'd like to see the print or digitally watch it, you know, in a digital format. You know, I'd rather see the movie theatrically, which I have the ability to do. You know, I mean, I prefer to do that than watch a DVD. But I mean, you know, like I watch the screeners when I get the DVDs at Christmas time, and I see them like that. You know,
Everyone I've spoken to says that foreign box office is now like a huge part of the denominator for making a picture move forward. Could you sort of talk about, was that a huge factor in Unknown, and how is that foreign box office dictating maybe what future Dark Castle stuff is happening?
Well, for years, a lot of our movies have done twice the gross internationally than domestically. I mean, that's just true. For years, it's been like that. You know, I mean, the Matrix movies, I mean, a lot of pictures. Sherlock did. I mean, a lot of these movies have done huge foreign. I mean, sometimes twice what domestic is. And that's just been good. It just is a bigger market. I mean, domestic drives it, though. Rarely do you have a movie that doesn't work at all domestically. I mean, I'm sure there's exceptions, that then is a huge success internationally. Usually it's driven domestically, and then it kind of crosses over to foreign. But look, you know, I mean, I think we think about it. I mean, yes, we thought that Unknown would have a big foreign appeal because it's filmed in Europe and has a lot of, you know, European stars in it. But I think that, you know, that's not, I mean, the script took place there. The script, I think, took place in Paris. I mean, we put it in Berlin. But I mean, if it had taken place someplace else, we would have, you know, maybe shot it there. But I mean, it worked to shoot it in Europe because it was a European story.
I definitely want to ask about Dark Castle and what you guys, I know I'm nearing the end of my time, so what is bubbling up for you? And also, what's 3D? Actually, 3D I want to ask about. It seems like more and more stuff is shooting in 3D, and it seems like theater owners are embracing it, while, you know, the debate on the consumer end. What's going on with you in 3D, and do you think 3D is a fad, or do you think it's really going to be here to stay?
I mean, I think both. I think it's a fad, but I think it's here to stay. And I saw Sanctum last night, you know, and it was it was an effective movie in 3D because it was shot in 3D. It was designed in 3D. Movies that tend to be, converted or tend to be 3D in a late decision are not effective, you know. The most effective 3D movies that I've seen ever have been the animated movies because they are Avatar is very good 3D, but the animated movies, Tangled, these movies are great in 3D. But to watch a movie in 3D, if it's not really planned in 3D, it's like disturbing sometimes. I mean, there were parts of Clash that confused me. You know, I didn't know
Clash 3D is terrible.
I didn't know what I was supposed to be seeing, you know. But I think if you're shooting in stereo and you're shooting in a 3D format and you're intending to go with a 3D movie, I think that's great. And I think if the story will function in that. I mean, we're talking about making Logan's Run now, and if we make Logan's Run and we make it in 3D, a totally incredible world that we create from scratch, and it's designed to be shot and filmed in stereo and made in 3D, then I would like to see that, you know, and I'd like to make it great if that's the plan. But if we say, you know, there was some discussion about Sherlock, maybe we should make it in 3D, which was silly, I thought. I mean, studio was saying, analyze it, do 3D. Well, yeah, to send space, to charge a little more for tickets, that I understand what they're saying, but it didn't make sense. It was the wrong kind of movie for it. It's not in 3D, and we didn't, it was a few days conversation and it went away. But I think, you know, I think if it's a viable, you know, piece of material that can really thrive in that format, then I think it should be done. But if it isn't, there's no reason to force it into it.
There's been a lot of talk about how the mid-range movie, that like the $70 to $100 million movies, are sort of going away. Like,
well, that's not really mid-range, but well, I mean, well, look, I'd say 40 to 60 is more of a mid-range movie. Yeah.
Well, I've been like noticing budgets in a lot of movies moving forward, 30, 35 million, and then there's like the mega-budget tentpole. And it seems more and more that it's like, you know, 35 and under, mega-budget tentpole. Have you found that for your movies, and just have you heard that, or is that...
I mean, it's all over the place. There's no real, you know, kind of specific, you know, genre of cost of movies. I mean, Sherlock 1 was 86. You know, I mean, that's what it cost, which was not hugely expensive, but more than this movie that was 32. You know, so I mean. It depends on the movie that's being made, but I think that the tentpole type movies are costly to do that kind of big, you know, visual effects, CGI, big, you know, green screen activity tends to get costly. And yes, you know, a movie like Hangover cost $35 million and it was very successful. So
it made a dollar.
It depends on the kind of movie, and I think we're at a time now where, you know, you have Paranormal Activity at $3 million, and you have, you know, whatever Terminator, a Transformers 3's cost, who knows? I mean, you have all these movies existing in the marketplace at the same time, and they can all be hugely successful movies.
When you have obviously something like a Logan's Run, which is going to be world creation, which is going to be really big, how is it that much harder now to get a studio behind those big tentpole movies? And do you have to show more? A lot of people tell me about they do like the previs and they show a reel and what they're thinking about doing. Has it always been that way? Has it been changing over the last 10, 20 years?
If you're always doing something that's big and I mean, we did Matrix in 99 and we had to show them what it looked like, you know, I mean, so that was, you know, that was 12 years ago, you know, so. But if you're doing something where you're creating something new that has never been seen before, people want to see what that is, you know. If it, you know, I had to do previses on Swordfish. I mean, so if there's a big movie, you have to do previses. You know, that's people. No, you don't have to. They want to see what it's going to look like, you know. And then we all want to see what it's going to look like. But you know, but yeah, it is a time when people are when you're creating big movies and big worlds. It's a time when people like to see what they're going to look like, and it's important to have that presentation to the studio.